We're continuing on in our series, When I Met Jesus, and we're going to look at a group of people over about 7 weeks who came in contact with Jesus and their lives were changed, just like our lives have been changed. And that's really what happens when you meet Jesus. He changes you from the inside out. He gives you a new heart, and he makes you inclined toward him. He draws you to himself, and he makes you more like him. And you know that if you put your faith in Christ, we believe from Scripture, it says you have eternal life. But I think sometimes people get so focused on the eternal life part of it, they don't always focus on, what are we doing here now? And that's what I want to look at today. And let's pray as we come to that, let's come to our passage. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you show us in your word what happens to people when they meet Jesus, when they believe in Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone here. I pray for each person here that our lives would be changed by you and that we would be used by you to serve you. We pray this in your name. Amen. As I was saying, sometimes we get this idea that, you know, okay, I'm just waiting for heaven. That's next. But really, what God calls us to do, God calls us to serve him here and now while we're on this earth. And I'd like to read to you a passage about the calling of the three disciples that were closest to Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus has been walking along and he's been healing people of different things. And as we come to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, here's what it says. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So first thing I want you to see here is that a time of worship, a time of teaching, a worship service can happen anywhere. It can happen on the beach, with the preacher out in a boat. And this isn't the main point of the passage, but I want you to think about that for a second. You come to a church building, and a lot of them have pointy tops, have steeples and things like that, and we're thankful for a building, but we can worship God anywhere. We could have a worship service anywhere. I mean, I want you to think about this scene. They're on the beach, and it says the people were crowding around. So the idea is that as Jesus keeps talking to the people, they keep getting closer and closer, so he needs a little bit of space. So he gets in the boat out a little bit, and he teaches from there. So that's the first point. It's not the big point here. Here's the big point. The big point is that Jesus rules over nature. He is God in the flesh, so he gets to tell the fish where to go. He knows where they are. He'd be a great guy to bring on a fishing trip, right? You know exactly where they are. But the point of this whole section, if you read Luke chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6, Jesus is going around casting out demons, he's healing people. He healed Simon, who is Peter, Simon Peter, that's what he's called. Peter is more of a nickname. He healed his mother-in-law the day before this took place. He continues to heal. He heals somebody with leprosy. He heals somebody who was born paralyzed. So he's healing all these things that are considered incurable. And not only that, he's able to bring all these fish into this boat. So he's king over the animal kingdom too. He's king over the diseases. He's king over the spiritual realm. He rules over the whole thing. And the point, when you read through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and you read about the miracles, most often the point is Jesus is revealing who he is. He is God in the flesh. And Peter sees what happens. So the nets start ripping, and then they need help to get the fish in the boat, and the boats start to sink. And Peter sees this, and he says, "Go away from me. I am a sinful man." Peter can't handle the power. Peter can't handle who Jesus is. He knows he is being visited either by God himself or a messenger of God. Maybe he hasn't figured out exactly who Jesus is yet. But he knows that there's something special about Jesus. And he said, I can't be in your presence right now. I'm sinful, and obviously you're not. You're powerful, you're holy. And so Peter has the right attitude about God, this humble attitude. And then Jesus calls them to something. See, last week I told you that God calls us to be in relationship with him. It's not just about empty religion, it's about relationship. But it's even more than relationship. It's calling. He says, "You're going to catch men now. Okay, you caught all these fish. Now I'm going to show you how to catch men." And that sounds kind of weird when I said that. But you're going to be fishers of men. You're going to bring guys, men and women, into the kingdom of God, children. And they're going to follow Jesus. And so he gives them this object lesson. And then he says, "Come and follow me." And it says they got up and they left everything. And they just took off and they followed Jesus and they accepted this calling on their lives. And Jesus is this all-powerful Lord who has a plan. And I want you to think about his plan for these three men, Peter, James, and John. James and John are brothers. Simon Peter is the other one. They were the three disciples that were closest to Jesus. So Jesus meets them here and he says, "Follow me." And Jesus has this big plan. He has this plan that these are going to be three of the 12 disciples. He has a plan that Peter is going to one day preach a sermon and 3,000 people are going to come to faith. He has a plan that John is going to write four books in the New Testament, actually five books, the fifth one being Revelation, that he wrote when he was an elderly man in exile. He had all these plans for these men's lives. They didn't even know it. All he said was, "Follow me," and they just got up and went. And I love Peter's response to the first statement that Jesus makes. He says, "Put the nets down." And if any of you have ever fished, I am not a very good fisherman. I can't really catch much of anything. Sunfish is my expertise, little ones. But if you've ever fished for a while and you're not catching anything, it gets frustrating, it gets boring, and you can almost hear it in Peter's voice. And Peter's not just fishing for fun. This is his job. This is his livelihood. He says, "Lord, we worked all night. But," he said, "because you say so, I will put the nets down." What a great attitude that is. Have you ever gotten to a point where you said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on in my life, and you want me to do this or you want me to do that. I don't get it, but I'll do it. I'll walk through the door." So he gives them this object lesson with the fish, and that shows them how it's going to work with him. That he is going to command great things to happen. He is going to command people to come into their nets. And he's going to work in miraculous ways. Here's another thing I want you to see with this passage. Last week we looked at a tax collector, Matthew, who was called, and a tax collector. He was considered not a real honest person. God calls sinners. But this week we see that God calls not only sinners, which Peter, James, and John are, he calls regular guys. I mean, these guys are probably tough fishermen dudes, right? I mean, I got this picture in my mind, you know, wearing like yellow slickers. Probably didn't invent those yet, but, you know, they got the beards and they got the nets and their hands are probably just calloused and they're probably just these really tough guys and this is how they make their living. Jesus calls regular people. Before this day, they weren't theologians. They hadn't gone to Hebrew school or seminary or anything like that. They're just a group of regular guys that Jesus calls to change the world. And that's really where it started, right there, with these three guys. And I look at people around here, a bunch of regular people. People who get up in the morning and we work and we try to provide for our families and we use as much energy as we can. We go to school. We do the things that other people do. I don't think anyone's independently wealthy here, can just lounge around. Regular people. God called regular people in the Bible. He also calls us. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. What does that mean to be called by God? I believe everybody is called by God to do things during their lives. Some people have more high-profile callings, people who are called to preach up in front of people. You say, well, you call that person a pastor, other churches, minister, things like that. But I believe God calls everybody and that he calls us to serve in his kingdom. We're not just Christians just so we can go to heaven someday. We're Christians so that we can help accomplish a mission. And the mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. And the question is, how do I and how do you fit into the mission? What is God's calling on my life? Now, it was very obvious for Peter, James, and John when Jesus in the flesh walks up to them and says, follow me. Okay? Jesus isn't here physically the way he was 2,000 years ago. And sometimes people don't really get, I'm not really sure if this is God's calling on my life. I'm not really sure what he's asking me to do. And what I would say to you in that regard is pray. And I would also say seek the Lord and seek his will in his word, in the Bible. There's a story of I want to share with you about one guy who lived a couple hundred years ago named William Carey, one of the first missionaries to leave Europe and to go to the Far East. And he was reading his Bible, and one of the passages that jumped out at him was from Matthew 28, and it said, go and make disciples of all nations. And he took it literally, as he should. And he took it as applying to his life. And he was a cobbler. He worked in a shoe shop, fixing shoes. And that was his calling. And he put up on the walls of the cobbler shop a world map, and he started praying for countries. God used the word, his word, to put this calling, this passion inside of William Carey, and he eventually headed off for India. And he eventually became one of the first missionaries to leave Europe, and he started this missionary movement that still goes on today. And there are other people like that who read God's word. Martin Luther was hit over the head by Romans chapter 1, and the Protestant Reformation began 500 years ago. And sometimes people say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Yep, he does. Okay, mine's a little tattered and torn here. That's good, though, right? But he speaks to you. There's over 1,000 pages here. He speaks to you in his word. I would also say to you, look at your gifts that he's given to you. We all have different gifts and abilities. And I look at people here who have different things that God has given to them, gifts of compassion and mercy, gifts of musical skill and ability, gifts of technology, gifts with children, and different things like that. And we all have different roles to play in God's church. And he's calling us all to serve him. We are all on a mission to accomplish the great mission, which is to make disciples. So I would encourage you to listen to God and hear what he says to you. And ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Ask me. How can I be used in service in his church to build his kingdom? Ask one of the elders. Ask your brothers and sisters in Christ. And one thing I would caution you to is to be careful of. Sometimes people think something comes from God and it's just a feeling. Sometimes feelings can be deceiving. We make sure it's from the Lord. We study God's word. And I want to share with you how I got my sense of calling in life. And I'm not trying to just talk about myself. This is how I experience God's call, and maybe you experience it in a similar way. But I reached a point in my life in my late 20s where I was working in the technology industry. I was in sales. I was making good money. And I actually had a lot of freedom in my job. And by all standards, I should have been just fairly content with how everything was going. But I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. Because I knew God wanted me to do something different. And I had known for years he was calling me to something. I actually reached a point where I just drove in a car and I ended up in South Carolina. Because I just needed to get out and get my head clear and think about things like that. And it had become so apparent to me the Lord's calling in my life. And finally I said, fine, Lord, I'll do it. Probably not the best way to answer the Lord.
Fine. All right.
Because you say so. And I had peace there. I had peace when I finally did that. And there are other ways that God calls you and leads you to do different things in life. I remember one time in church, before I was a pastor, the church we used to attend in Chelmsford, there was a guy standing up in front inviting people to a mission trip in Haiti. And I still remember I was sitting like right around here in the church building that we were in. And this guy was talking, and he was talking about this mission trip to an orphanage in Haiti. And at the time I was single, and I said, he's talking to me. He wants me to go on that mission trip with him. And after the service, I went up and talked to him and eventually ended up going on a mission trip to Haiti. But the Lord put it on my heart to do that. And again, be careful of your feelings. Pray, study God's word so that you know what it is. But you know what happened in Haiti? In Haiti, I got to know the person who is now my wife. In Haiti, I went to an orphanage where these two little boys named Peter and Matt were there, and I later adopted them. And now, at least one of them's taller than me now. And I just think, well, was the Lord speaking to me that day? Yeah, I know that he was. But when you get this sense of calling in your life, answer that call. Well, what if I step out in faith and I'm wrong? Here's what I would say to you. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Sometimes you learn by walking and stumbling. Step out in faith. And you get to be accustomed to following his leading in your life. And I would always say, anchor yourself in God's word. See, because we're not only called to be in relationship, and we're not only called to go to heaven, we are called to a mission here and now. We are called to serve him. There may be pastors in this room. There may be missionaries in this room. There may be a few more sound guys in this room and musicians in this room and nursery people in this room. And I don't want to miss any of the callings. People who are in the generosity ministry, people who are in the compassion ministry in this room. And God is calling and leading. And I would say to you, just remember that we all have this great service that we get to perform for the King. And he's the King of the universe. He's Jesus. And we get to serve him while we are here on this earth. And that is what happens when you meet Jesus. He not only calls you to relationship, he calls you to serve. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for people that are here today. And Lord, if there's anyone that you're drawing into yourself, Lord, I pray that you would overwhelm them with your power and your love. Speak to them through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Make it clear, Lord, what you want them to do and what doors you want them to walk through. Lord, we pray these things knowing that you do have a plan. And we pray these things that you are all knowing that you are all powerful and loving. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.